freezing in here, isn't it? Absolutely freezing. So hopefully next week we'll fix the heating. There's meant to be heaters around the doors, but for some reason they're not working. So we do apologise and hope you can sort of stretch a little bit and just think about what it's like to be warm. So let's just pray before we start. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we can come into your presence. We thank you that you are so faithful to us. And we just pray right now, Lord, that you will take these thoughts and may they be translated into your thoughts. And Lord, I pray that you would undo anything that is not of you, and I pray that you would release your revelation, your truth to us this evening, so that we can enter more fully into all that you are doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week, if you were here, and if you've been here on a number of Sunday mornings, we've been looking at and beginning to enter into a season of prayer. And the season of prayer will end when we end up being with the Lord. So it's going to go week in, week out, because we know that's what God's called us to do. And as a church, I believe the Lord wants us to take the time to listen to what he has to say. Because so often we do so much, but listen so little. And I remember one of the archbishops, I think years ago, I think a guy called William Temple, said that 90% of the activities in church would continue even if the Holy Spirit left the building. And we want to begin to listen to God. We want to understand what he is saying and put what God is saying into practice. And I've read to you a number of times, and I'll continue to read to you, because I think when we get it, we'll do it. But at the moment, we're getting it. We're not quite there yet. And it says this: in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And as I said before, we're living in the last days, the time between God when he ascends into heaven and one day he'll return. It'll come and call us back to the people and restore heaven and earth as he intended it to be. The mount of the Lord will be established as chief among the mountains. It'll be the mountains that suddenly again God's people and the world will recognise the authority of God. His authority hasn't gone away, but we will see who is God. And the invitation is to each one of us, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Come, let us, let you and me come up to the mountain of the Lord. Why? And God says this, he will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. And so the invitation is to each one of us here to the mountain, the place for encounter, the place of God's presence, and in his presence he will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. When he teaches us his ways, we walk in his paths, we change nations, we change communities, we change relationships, we change our families, because his ways are always the best ways. And that's what we're doing. We're entering into a season where we're beginning to take the time to listen to God. So Monday night at 7:30 we're meeting here. It's called the Hot House, praying in God's promises. Because God said many things to this church, and we will see what God has said to this church when we take the time to pray, to listen to him, and take the time. And when we do that, we'll see everything that he said come true. Isn't that right? It's true. We're going to see amazing things. Do you know that? We are. Have you met Jesus? He's amazing. Have you listened to him? You put into practice, that is amazing, because none of us are there yet, are we? But it's a time to take the time to listen to God. So that's my means of introduction. And so it's the call, the Lord is leading us to the mountain. So if you'd like to come with me to Hebrews 12. And it says this, Hebrews 12, verse 14, and it says this. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance right to the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not hear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less were we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And last week I spoke to you about Moses, and Moses had gone up the mountain, if you remember. He'd gone up to, by invitation of God, to come into his presence. So Moses went up the mountain, and while he was up there, God revealed himself to him. And he, can you hear me? Is it going up here? He revealed to him the Ten Commandments, and he spent, you know, many days up the mountains. But while he's up there, the people of God were down in the valleys, and they thought, gosh, where's Moses gone? He's gone up to the mountain. So they thought, gosh, he's been gone ages. Where is Moses? For goodness sake, he's obviously not coming back. And so what they did, instead of waiting for God, waiting for Moses to come back with the words that God had spoken, they went back into the days of Egypt, into the ways of Egypt. And what had happened with God's people, they had been taken out of Egypt. They'd been taken out of the Red Sea. They'd been taken out of an environment where they'd been put under the oppression of the Egyptians. And in that time, they had been set free. They'd been redeemed. They'd been taken into another place. And God was going to lead them into a place of milk and honey. But instead of waiting for God, they went back into their old ways of Egypt. So they ended up making a golden calf. They got back into sexual immorality. They got into all sorts of things that God had set them free from, because they could not wait for Moses to come back down from the mountain. And so, as you know in the story, Moses comes down the mountain. He's absolutely fed up with the people. Smashes the Ten Commandments on the ground. He says to Aaron, how come you've let this happen to the people, etc., etc. And then he says, are you for God or against God? And those who are for God went to one side. Those who are against God were destroyed. Because God wanted a holy people that wanted to do what he wanted to do. And so, in this, out of Hebrews 12, there's a real resonance here where it says this. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And you see, God, we want to see the Lord, don't we? I want to see the Lord. We each want to see the Lord, don't we? And you see, God says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and love your brother as yourself. And you see, in that place, when God is put in the place of worship, and when we love God with everything we have, and when we love our brother as ourselves, we begin to enter fully into what God has for us. But it says this: make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance right to the oldest son. Afterwards, you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. And you see, God is calling us to be a people who, a people of unity and a people of holiness. Without that, we cannot see the Lord. And we don't want to miss out God's grace, do we? And one of the things here it says, that let no bitter root grow up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or was godless like Esau. And one of the things about worship is that we have a great opportunity. We come to God's presence and we feel the amazing thing of knowing God's love for us. We forgive God, we understand God's forgiveness. We feel his restoration. And then we don't apply that to each other. And you see, God wants us to be a people who are able to forgive as we're forgiven. To be a people who, out of the place of worship, is able to begin to work through the issues in our church and our lives that prevent us from coming together under God. And I've seen in different contexts, I've seen it in families, I've seen all sorts of things. When a bitter root grows up, when something is unresolved, when something at one stage, if it had only been dealt with there and then, it could be finished. But it's allowed to fester and grow, and it divides and it causes divisions. And that's not what God calls us to do. He doesn't want us to be sexually immoral. He wants us to be distinct from the ways of the world. And I know it's tough out there. I've been out there myself and I've fallen many times. Before I became a Christian, I wasn't particularly great. But I know now what it's like, God's holiness. I know what it's like to feel, to be slimed by the world. It stinks. It's not what God's intention is. God wants us to be pure. God wants us to wait until the right time, so that when you get married, that you can have a right relationship, where you save that intimacy of sexuality to be for that special place. We live in a world that has thrown out the window, and look at society, it's fallen apart. There's nothing special anymore. And so see that no one, and like Esau, for a single meal, sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. And I think the Lord's just saying, don't throw away the thing we have in Christ for something which comes one minute and goes the next. Easy come, easy go. Just don't throw away the precious things of God. And so that's what happened with the people of God, with Moses, wasn't it? Moses went up the mountain and they fell back into the old practices, and many of them lost the inheritance they had by falling back into the ways of Egypt. And God doesn't want that for us. And what I want to encourage people tonight is that God is inviting us to the new covenant, the most incredible place of encounter, the place which I'm going to describe to you in a minute, but the most amazing thing that God wants each one of us here today to experience. And a number of years ago, I went out to America. I spent a year in a church called The Vineyard, and while I was out there, I was exploring whether I was going to go into full-time ministry or not, and I was hoping that I wasn't. But when I was out there, the Lord really began to speak to me. And as I began to be obedient to what God called me to, God really began to change my heart. And I spent 3 months on a kind of a discipleship program in a place on up near the mountains. And I was on part of the leadership team. And while I was there, it was a superb opportunity just to spend time learning to listen to God. And I met a friend of mine there, a guy called Doug, and he was about 6 foot, I was about 6 foot 5, so obviously we're sort of starting to enlarge. And he used to be in the gangs, and the Lord took him out of the gangs in America and did an amazing story, which is another story which I'll maybe bring him along sometime to tell you about. But me and him really hit it off. And we used to go and walk for miles and just chat and just chill out together. And anyway, one day we're walking, there's these mountains, and we used to walk and climb up these mountains. And up at the top of the mountains, you could see this most amazing view of the valley. And so we used to climb up the mountain, and the first time we sort of climbed up to the first ridge, and we used to sit on top of this kind of the V of a mountain, facing each other with our legs dangling down, and just sitting there chatting. And as we began to get to know each other, as we began to pray together, as we began to learn to listen together, we began to start repenting. We started saying to each other the sort of things that, you know, the things that no one else knows about, thank goodness. And we were just sitting together, and we began to share with each other, and we used to pray and ask God to forgive us. And just began to ask the Lord to, you know, deal with some of the things that kept coming up in our lives, you know, which kept coming and we kept falling into. And then we'd come down the mountain. Then on another day, we'd climb a bit further up. And eventually, we used to go and buy loads of sweets and cans of Coke and stuff and just climb about 3 miles up to the mountain, get higher and higher and higher. And so eventually, we built this fire up in the mountain, which I found that you should never do, because have you heard the forest fires in California? It wasn't me, but we made this big clearing, and we got these rocks, and we dug a clearing, and we put these rocks and built a fire in it. We brought these worship tapes up with us, and we used to sit up there for hours and hours and just listen to the worship songs, drink a couple of Cokes, eat some sweets, just begin to get into the presence of God. And it's almost like the Lord began to woo us. He began to, as we did the business with God, as we began to be really honest with the things in our lives we struggled, God began to reveal his heart to us more and more. And so one day, after we used to got there for about 4 or 5 hours, and people used to wonder what on earth we got up to. Anyway, so one day we're coming down the mountain. As we're coming down the mountains, suddenly the Spirit of the Lord fell on both of us. And we both end up lying on a path. And the path was really sandy. And I was like this. And my friend Doug was like this. And we're lying back there. And I suddenly felt the presence of the Lord pass over us. And the best way of describing it, it's like a hot air balloon. And it went... You know that sound? And I felt the purity of the Lord just go over us. And it's the most incredible thing. It was so pure. I've never seen purity or felt it. I've never experienced that peace. And my friend Dougie shouts out, "Hey, John Boy," he said, "call me John Boy." He goes, "We've never been so strong." And it's because we're lying there. We had become nothing. And God revealed everything. And you see, that's what God wants to do. You see, he wants to invite us to that place of encounter. Because the ultimate act of worship is silence. You know that? But what more can you say? That's what worship always ends up in silence. Be still and know that I am God. Do we know that? Have we taken the time to know that he's God? Have we spent the time just to say, "Lord, please"? Not even say that. Just keep our mouth shut. And I'll tell you, God's purity is so beautiful. I just felt, or just put into perspective the things that I want to now aspire my life towards. God's goodness, God's way. Teach me your way so that I may walk in your paths. Come, let us go to the house of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. It's beautiful. It's amazing. And when you get to the top of the mountain, it puts everything in perspective. You feel so small, but he's so big. And this is what's amazing.
Thank you, Catherine.
I normally wear a bib at home, but not tonight. But the most amazing thing, the old covenant is this. We're going to compare and contrast. I remember, do you remember that at school? That's right. It says this. This is the old covenant. It says this. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom and storm, to trumpet blast or such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Isn't that an amazing picture of what God has, the new covenant? The old covenant was a place of terror, a place of fear, a place where only one man could stand on behalf of the people. Moses was only allowed to stand in the presence of God. The people inquired of God. They said, Moses, what's God saying? Moses said to God, what are you saying? God said to Moses, this is what I'm saying. Moses said to the people, this is what God's saying. It's quite a long process, isn't it? But God is saying to us, you can come into my presence. You can come into the Holy of Holies. You can come into the place where only one person could. Why? Because of what Jesus has done upon the cross. The new covenant is absolutely amazing. And not only that, you are joining with those in heaven. It says you have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. And I really believe that worship, God wants us to do this. I've said this before last week, and I've said it in the mornings, that God wants us to instead of, you know, with worship, so often we do our bit, and they say, come and join us, Lord. What God wants us to do is he wants us to come and join him. And see, God wants to release worship, that instead of looking at the world, how are we going to worship God? We're going to say, God, show us how to worship him. And I believe God wants to show us what is heaven doing. What is heaven doing? How is heaven worshipping God? And what's the amazing thing, in Revelation 4, it says this. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. What's amazing is, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And I believe what God wants to do is open the door of heaven so that we can see in. So that we can begin to see what heaven's doing. We can join the heavenly hosts worshipping the Lord. We can get a glimpse of what God is like. We can get a greater revelation of who he is. And it says this, after it describes God, the most, you know, the majestic image of him. And then it says this, day and night they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will, they were created and have their being. And you see, God wants us to begin to enter in. He wants to lead us to that place of encounter where we can begin to see more dynamically God's presence, so that he can teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. And I believe that God wants to do that in worship. I think God wants to reveal to us so much more. But we've got to take the time to listen. We've got to take the time to be in his presence. We've got to take the time to be still. Because this doesn't just happen. It happens by God, us making that time to be with him. He goes on to say this. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, the judge of all men, the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And it says, the most amazing thing about the covenant is this, is that it's the church, the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. And the firstborn is this, that in the Old Testament, when Adam, you know, sinned in the Garden of Eden, he brought into the world sin. But God has provided a new way to the new covenant, that the firstborn, being Christ, will bring us in to the new covenant, where it says this, if I can find it. It says this, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For For as in Adam all die, so all in Christ, all will be made alive. And so God, through his new covenant, is providing each one of us a place in heaven. It says, you've come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. And through the covenant, Jesus is making each one of us perfect. It's not by who we are and what we do, it's by what he has done for us. It says to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You see, the blood of Abel talks about he spoke the word of retribution, but God calls us to reconciliation. God calls us to be brought together under his name rather than divided. And I just think that what the Lord's saying is that we're entering into a season where it says the things of this earth and heaven are going to be shaken. And we're beginning to see that now, aren't we, in the world we live in. Everything seems to be unsure now, doesn't it? How many times have we heard of an earthquake, a rumour of a war, of India and Pakistan? You hear in Pakistan they're saying that actually it's the worst earthquake that's ever hit in living memory. In America, the worst hurricanes in living memory. Things have been shaken, aren't they? Things have been stirred. And it says this as we go on. It says, at this time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And things are going to be shaken, and things are being shaken, and I think I don't know about you, as a staff, we've been reflecting on each one of us are going through something in our lives, which we were, God's testing us. To finding out in our life what is real, what is true. Is anyone here who's going through a time of testing at the moment? Is it just me and my wife and my staff? And who's going through a hard time at the moment? Who's been shaken? Who's been stirred? Who's been shaken and not stirred? You see, God is shaking. God is moving. God is tearing down the things which don't look like him. And it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, he wants to leave us for the things that are of his kingdom. And so what we're going to do is take the time to pray. Take the time to seek his ways. Take the time to walk his ways out. And it says this, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And I said again the other week, and I was saying that this, one of the most powerful things I've noticed in spiritual warfare is thankful people. When you start having an attitude of thankfulness, it changes the whole context of the situation we're in. And at the moment, Kath and I are looking for a house to buy, and at the moment, as you know, the price are going. And we put an offer in the house the other week, and it went up 100 grand. You sort of think, what is going on? And we're at the moment, we're staying in sort of smallish places. It's fine. It's what God's given us at the time. But we're in a place of thinking, God, what are we going to do? How are we going to have a place to live? You know, you come into another country. And it really does force you to begin to pray and to seek the Lord. It really does. But we know God's going to come through because we know what he's like. And I promise you I'll stand here before in the near future. And I'll stand because I believe in the Lord. I believe he does this. He hasn't done it yet, but he will do that. We will have a house. I promise you that. And I'll let you know when we do. So if I don't believe it, why should I ask you to believe it? But I believe the Lord answers us. But he takes us to a time of testing, doesn't he? To find out where our hearts are and what it's all about. And it's been a challenging time, isn't it? And we've had to look at our hearts in many ways. And we've sort of sat there and sort of going at each other, and you know, and having to learn to sort of think, well, this is not as important as being part of what God has to do. So we're putting his kingdom first, and everything else will come when it's his time. When it's his time, it will all come. But you see, all of us are going to go through hard times because he wants to refine us. He wants to show us what we're really about. And I'm quite frightened sometimes of what I'm like. Don't you sometimes when suddenly you're up against the wall and you realise what's in your heart? It frightens me. It frightens my wife as well. But you see, that's the refining. It's not coming on a Sunday and the big smile, you know, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. How's it going? I'm doing great. Because the life is not like that all the time. It is good when it's great, isn't it? Let's thank goodness for great days. But life is quite difficult, isn't it? Do you find it easy? I don't. But I know with Jesus, everything is possible. And so when we have a heart of thankfulness, it changes our situation. Instead of thinking, poor old me, we think, you are our hope, Lord. You are the answer to my situation, whatever it is. And so that's why we're going to the mountain. That's why we're going to respond to God's invitation. Because we want to hear his ways and learn to walk them out. And when we begin to do that, not only do we stop thinking about ourselves, but we begin to see the most amazing things as we become part of God's hands and feet in the world. As we begin to see God move. And I want to be part of that. Don't you? And so let's, together, if we're going through a hard time, it's okay, we're all going through hard times at different times. And if you're going through a good time, well, don't tell us about it. You know, you get those on. Oh, that's fine. But we're here for a short period of time, so let's make the most of it. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to just wait on the Lord. I don't quite know what he's doing at the moment, so let's just wait. And see what he wants to do, because I think it's So shall we stand just to sort of keep ourselves warm? I've got a bit of a strange picture the Lord's just given me. Do you remember years ago a thing called Shaker Maker? You used to shake it and you used to make something. Do you remember that one? It's probably an English thing anyway. But I'm just feeling that the Lord is shaking us and making us. And it's out of the shaking that he's making us into what he wants us to be. And so Lord, we just want to welcome your presence now, Lord. We want to call upon the name of Jesus to... We even want to invite your shaking. We want to invite you to shake the things that are not of you. There's only one kingdom that's going to stand, and that's your kingdom, Jesus. And everything else is going to fall away. One day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. There's only one king, there's only one God. He's the chief among the mountains. And so we want to ask you now to shake, to tear down the things that are not of you. And we just trust in you. We want to trust in you that it's okay to be shaken. It's the shortest route. And I just think the beginning of
the entrance to the mountain, you know, it says also, I think it's in Psalm 24, about having clean hands and a pure heart. That's the invitation, that those who have a clean hands and a pure heart are invited to the mountain. And it's a choice we have. And I just think it would be good just to take an opportunity now, as we're to do business with God, whether it's things that we haven't resolved, which can become bitter, whether we've been sexually immoral, or whether we've done things that we regret. So the Lord wants to show us his purity and not what the world has to offer, which is here 1 minute and gone the next. And he doesn't want us to sell our inheritance for something which is so trivial. He wants us to invite us to the mountain, the place of encounter, the place where God reveals what the love of the Father is like. And for some of us today, we don't know what that is like. We don't know the love of a heavenly Father. We have the disappointment of an earthly one. And God wants to shake that today.